And next on the line, I have our dear friend and colleague, Sally O'Reilly, psychologist, psychotherapist. And Sally, I'm delighted to welcome you to the show again. And we're communicating this time, not in the studio, but over the phone, simply because we have to take every precaution here in the studio because of the coronavirus and the risk of infection, etc.
Yes. Well, thanks for having me back nonetheless.
Oh, no, it's great to have you back, Sal. Now, Sally, tell us about the coronavirus and fear factor and whatever. Have you any advice as a psychotherapist and a psychologist? Have you any advice for our listeners in relation to, I suppose, taking this all in their stride and not to perhaps catastrophize or whatever?
Well, you know what? I think you actually just summarized it there, Rosarie, that if we can just do our best to take it in our stride and not catastrophize. I guess the thing is, like, how do we really do that? And on a practical note, there are some things I would like to say to people. And I know that everyone is really probably sick of hearing this, and I'm not saying anything new. But what it is in my ideal world, people would ignore all the catastrophizing and the dramatizing and the fear-mongering that is being foisted upon us by the media. Like, if I could just give one example.
Yes.
I noticed yesterday, I broke my own rule yesterday morning, which was I checked the news before I even got up. Now, this is not a wise thing to do. So that's the first thing I'm going to say. Don't do that. Don't check the news first thing in the morning. Something pleasant be the first thing that you see, if that's your partner, your child, your dog, your cat, the window, whatever. But what the first thing I read yesterday morning was that, words to this effect anyway, that COVID had claimed its first young victim, a 21 or 22-year-old male footballer. Okay?
Yes.
And I read that and I thought, crikey, that's
serious.
That's serious.
Yeah.
It's not at all in the profile that we've come to expect, and that's not a high-risk group. And you know, the way your brain goes on the spiral, like, oh my goodness, has this, you know, mutated, or what's this about?
Yeah.
So then I clicked through the article, and this does not make the story any less tragic, Rosarie.
No.
Say that first.
But
you know, this was an actual young man who lost his life. Mm-hmm. But he had had leukemia.
Okay, so his system was already compromised.
Yes, very compromised. Mm. And it's dreadful that he died, and it's terrible. And yes, he was infected with the virus as well. But what then...
Was this in Ireland? Sorry, Sally, sorry to cut across you. Was it in Ireland?
No, I don't think so, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't know, remember, because and here's why I don't remember.
Right.
I'm so angry. And I thought, look, so many people read headlines and they don't read the article.
Mm-hmm.
They don't check the source.
Yeah.
And they, as a result, become very anxious and very frightened.
Yes.
Another example was during the week where I myself reposted an article from The Guardian. Now, I should have learned my lesson with The Guardian last year when they posted an article about SSRIs, but nonetheless, this article was saying that we shouldn't be using anti-inflammatory drugs and that it reduces your ability to cope with the COVID virus. Okay, so this was in The Guardian, which is a
reputable newspaper.
Fairly reputable. Mm. Fairly, you know, perhaps not as much as it used to be. So I read it and it looked reasonable, and it was, you know, coming from a French doctor. And mm-hmm. So I posted it on my personal page, because I'm extremely rigorous with things I post on my professional page.
Of course.
And very shortly afterwards, I had two friends in Germany who got on to me and said, you know, that's actually fake news.
Okay.
So I whipped it off and looked it up, and indeed they were right. The Guardian did not check their source.
Okay.
So this is why I'm saying to people, if you actually want information about COVID or any illness for that matter, when this is over, the only really reputable source is the HSE and the World Health Organization. And really and truly, that's it. Anyone else could be saying anything else about anything that they read anywhere. And we cannot and we must not trust it, because fear is such a virulent emotion, you know, and it's, fear is spreading faster than this virus ever will.
How can people, I suppose, protect themselves against becoming fearful, Sally, as a psychologist? What would you advise?
So what I would advise then is bearing in mind that the reputable information that we're getting is this. The only way this is transmitted is through cough droplets or physical contact. If we touch something that someone has sneezed or coughed on themselves, and if we touch it and then touch our own face. Okay, so it's wise to do the social distancing. It's not necessary to do social isolating unless you're symptomatic or someone that you know is symptomatic.
Right.
For now, this is the information that we have, is that what we need to do is wash our hands, not gather in large groups, stay 2 meters away from people where possible, and, you know, watch how often we touch our faces and that kind of thing. This is what will and does protect people from the virus.
Right.
And there's no need to go absolutely crazy in your head and imagine all sorts of other ways of contracting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
Like, isolation is a terrible thing. People are already getting cabin fever. So one of the things that psychologists are finding themselves gobsmacked saying these days is social media is great. It's a great way to keep in touch with people and to keep connection. We need to keep in touch with our friends and our family, particularly if we literally cannot spend time and we literally can't hug them and express our affection and our care. And it's an awful time for people who are isolated from their elderly or sick relatives or mm-hmm. friends.
But in a way, I suppose it's good that we have social technology, isn't it? I mean, we can telephone, we can FaceTime, we can. There are ways of overcoming it. I mean, in a way, it's good that we have a certain level of social media that we can sort of overcome this.
We're doing it right now.
Exactly.
You and I, and my colleagues and I, a lot of us are now doing online video sessions or phone call sessions.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who are able to work from home. There are a lot of people who aren't, and they need to follow the HSE guidelines, you know. But if we can do our best to keep each other safe, and the better job we do, the sooner this will all be over.
Yeah.
Because we will, as they say, flatten the curve, the rate of infection will come down, and we can get back to normal. And the Taoiseach, I thought, made a very good speech last night.
Yes, I think that was universally acknowledged as being a very good speech, statesmanlike.
Yeah, it was a great job, and he addressed all of my concerns as well, things like, you know, reassuring around the 4 main guidelines and the hand hygiene and whatnot, but also the bit about, you know, the financial security piece, that there is a budget going to be made available. Yes, it's going to take us years to pay it back, but isn't it worth it? If we save lives and if we manage to avoid the catastrophe that other countries have experienced, if we could just hold on and look out for each other, if that even means staying away from each other, it's temporary. We will get through it. We'll adapt as we always do.
Now, I don't know whether it's just me or whatever, but I actually enjoying the time, for want of a better word, from the point of view of catching up on lots of things that I want to do, such as a lot of books I want to read, a lot of writing I have to do, a lot of backlog work, that paperwork especially, that I have neglected.
Yeah.
Reconnecting with my family, albeit remotely in some ways. Getting out the pen and paper, sending letters for a change. And emails, of course, and texts. So I actually, and getting a lot of walks and fresh air and whatnot. So I actually quite like it. And I like the fact that, but maybe it's, obviously it's a worrying time for a lot of people as well. But I think it could be a time to go back to basics.
It is. You know, a lot of people are echoing your sentiments, and I see that a lot. And one of the things I notice is that, you know, WhatsApp groups, a lot of people are kind of a little bit allergic to WhatsApp groups. But now people are really enjoying them, and that's because they're meeting a need, you know, the need for contact, the need for humour. I think we are fantastic at humour in this country, especially in the face of adversity. And I have just found myself screeching laughing at some of the videos that I've seen on WhatsApp and Facebook. And I find myself passing them on. And it's just, there is a real
camaraderie.
We're in this together thing as well. And yeah, there's a lot of great resources online for parents to activities with kids. And there are also online resources. In fact, I just joined up for one where there is free support being made available by colleagues of mine, psychologists and psychotherapists, to people on Twitter if they feel they're going a bit mad. Mm. There's a list of psychologists that you can DM, and it's a free service. It's not counselling or therapy. It's a support service. But it's bringing out the best, I think, in so many people. And I have to say, I really am enjoying that part of it. So maybe that might be another tip, is just to look at the good stuff that's going on around us as well.
Yeah.